Now, we have to play a little bit to get this sermon started. Okay? When I wrote the introduction to the sermon, I had in mind the normal congregation. Okay? Not those people who are going to fight their way through an ice storm to make it to Cornerstone at 8 o'clock in the morning. I mean, I didn't have you in mind at all. I had those other Christians. Okay, you know, the ones who show up, but, you know what I'm talking about, right? We're playing a little here. Now, and what I was going to say to them is, isn't it pleasant? Okay. Now, the dilemma is, it's going to get better, but it isn't like really pleasant out there this morning, is it? I mean, they close Route 82 because it's, and some of you got caught in that, right? I mean, it's just not, like, pleasant. But now let me ask you, are any of you uncomfortable in here this morning? I mean, is the temperature okay? Okay. Your seat is nice and it feels good. You're okay with your seat? Okay. What did you say? You could use a recliner. Go to a theater. Movie theaters have them these days, I'm told. Now, here, you know, your neighbor is clean, right? There's no strange odor. Okay? I mean, in the church, in this room right now, it's like pleasant, right? Okay? It's like pleasant here. Okay? Pretty even. Okay? Some of you are not so great, but the room is pretty. Okay? No, but here's the truth of it. All over the world today, Christians, our brothers and sisters in Christ, are being persecuted for their faith. For Christians all over the world today, it's not comfortable. The fact is that some of them are literally dying because they claim the name Jesus Christ. And in contrast to that, okay, despite the weather outside, here we sit. Peaceful, undisturbed, worshiping God in the beauty of this house. And we take it for granted. We do not expect to be made uncomfortable here today. We expect to have a nice time here today, to visit with our friends. We're going to go over in the fellowship hall. We're going to have something to eat. We're going to go home pretty much as we came. And next week, if it's not too inconvenient for us, we might come back and we might try it all again. Now, if it snows deep, like 6 to 10 inches for you folks, or if we have a better offer, Or if we're a little tired and decide to sleep in. Or horror of all horrors, company comes. Well, you know how things are. But the text which God sets before us today, the text which Steve read in your hearing just a moment ago, the one that comes from the Bible, makes us uncomfortable. Okay, I'll bet you, where'd he go? Can't see him. I bet Steve was uncomfortable reading it. Yeah, how many times did he have to say that word? I mean, that word, just the word, makes the men in the congregation uncomfortable. And why do we have to talk about such things in church? Even the name of the place where it happened, Gibeath Haraloth in Hebrew. Translated, the heap of foreskins. Makes us uncomfortable. I mean, you should talk about this in church. It makes us uncomfortable. And the last thing we want to do in church is make people uncomfortable. But don't worry. From now on, whenever I refer to the name of the spot, I will be careful to use the Hebrew name. Because the last thing I would want to do this morning while I'm preaching is anybody, particularly any of you, uncomfortable. Now, here is what happened at Gabbeath Haraloth. It was after the parting of the Jordan River. Israel had crossed through the river, which was a flood stage, but Israel had crossed through on dry ground because God had stopped the water's flow and Israel had passed through the river on dry ground. And then the great reminders had been set up in the river and in the camp at Gilgal. The piles of rock, remember Peter's sermon last week, that would remind Israel, they were there to remind Israel forever of the faithfulness and power of God. And because of this, Israel was at peace. See, the people whose land Israel had invaded by crossing the river were so frightened by God's display of power in drying up the river for Israel's crossing that they did not move against the invaders. They were afraid. So surprisingly, Israel was at peace. But then the command of God came. And Israel's moment of comfort was over. Now let me just be brutally frank. God set it up. Did you hear me? God set it up. The moment of peace was not given to Israel so that she could sit back and take a nap. The moment of peace was given to Israel to prepare for renewed devotion to Yahweh. The peace was given so that Israel could prepare for God's service. The command of God that day, make flint knives and circumcise Israel. In Genesis chapter 17, 9 through 14, God commanded that all Israelite males would be circumcised. Now, if you don't know what circumcision is, you should ask at home. Because it would make people uncomfortable. It's making people uncomfortable that I'm even saying the word. But it would make them really uncomfortable if I tried to describe to you what it is. Ask at home. God forbid anybody should be uncomfortable here today. But circumcision, according to Genesis, according to the word that came through Moses, from God through Moses, would be the sign, the mark in the flesh, the cutting, which would remind the people of Israel that they were, above all, God's people. They were God's people first and foremost. Above everything else, Israel belonged to God. For generations, all male Hebrews were marked in this way. But after Moses had led the Israelites out of Egypt, and the Israelites had listened to the spies, and so were too frightened to enter the promised land and were condemned to wander in the desert, while they were wandering in the desert, no Hebrew had been circumcised. That rebellious generation, which bore the mark of God, had failed to circumcise their sons. So as Israel sat peacefully in the camp, in the promised land, as God had promised at last, the command of God came, mark them as mine, cut them. God ordered Joshua to use flint knives because they were sharper than metal ones and more surgically clean. He ordered him to use flint knives to circumcise every male Hebrew in the nation of Israel without exception. Now the question, folks, is why? And the answer is in the text. First of all, circumcision would remind Israel that they were God's people. They were not free to do as they pleased. They were bound to God. He was their strength and He was their hope. Apart from Him, they were nothing. And so every time they looked, they would be reminded that they belonged to God. Second reason was to remind them about the consequences of disobedience. The entire disobedient population of Israel was dead. They never knew the promised land because they relied on their own understanding and rejected the plan of God. And every time they looked, they would be reminded of the consequences of disobedience. And the third reason was to remind them that God was above all else faithful. They were at last in the promised land. God had kept His word. Though the promise had been delayed by their father's disobedience for 40 years, still God was faithful. They were in the promised land. And every time they looked, they would remember the faithfulness of God, because the mark would be in their flesh. So that very day, Joshua circumcised the men of Israel as God had commanded. And guess what? It hurt. But when it was done, and the Gibeath Haraloth was before them, God said to them, "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." The sin of rebellion was rolled away. Israel was restored. Her men had resumed their place. They had committed themselves to God and to the plan of God, even though it hurt, and they bore the mark of God. The mark that declared to the entire world and to them that they were God's men and that Israel was God's people. Oh, that today I had a flint knife. Oh, that the men of Cornerstone would take the mark of the high calling of God. It might hurt, but by bearing the mark of God, and I'm not talking about circumcision, by bearing the mark of God, by being held in the hand of God, by bearing the mark of God, we men prepare the church for the blessing of Almighty God. But if we are unwilling men, unwilling to be God's men, God's blessing on this house will, as it was for Israel, be delayed. That day, even though they were still uncomfortable because it hurt, the marked men of Israel led the nation of Israel to celebrate the Passover. And when the great supper of salvation ended, the manna, which had come from God, stopped. And Israel ate the fruit of the promised land. But first, for the reproach of the past to be rolled away, the men of Israel had to be made uncomfortable. The truth is this, guys. Sometimes it hurts. But to be blessed, we men must be marked as His. We must be willing to bend to the will of Almighty God. And it is the men who must bend first.